Okay. Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone had a nice weekend. I know I did, certainly with Sunday's big victory. What was that? The rabbi was jumping up and down. Oh, yeah? So the rabbi... there were a few people here who will go nameless who were, may not have been taunting my child during the game. So they told him not to tell me, though. So he's like, "Daddy, I have something to tell you." I said, "What?" He goes, "There were people who were rooting against the Patriots." I said, "Well, welcome to life, buddy."
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue. We're on Perek Yud Gimel. Chapter 13, you should have a handout in front of you. If not, there are a few more over here. And we continue. Can I ask someone to just close the door in the back? We continue with the political intrigue. So if you remember last week, the past few weeks we've been talking about is really the downfall of Malchus based David with the split between Yeravam. On top, there's a lever. All right. The split between Shlomo's kingdom, between the northern kingdoms, the northern kingdoms and the southern kingdom, the southern with Yeravam and Rechavam. And if you remember, so Yeravam, because he is a little paranoid and he's nervous that if people go to Yerushalayim to offer sacrifices, then they're going to be reminded that Yerushalayim is really the homeland, the home base of the Jewish people, and they're gonna see that Rechavam is treated with such honor, and Yeravam is not treated with honor, and so it's gonna be a disgrace for Yeravam. So because he's nervous about that, he overcompensates, and if you recall, he builds centers of idolatry both in Dan and Beit El, neither of which are insignificant places. If you recall, Dan was where during the Shoftim, they used to sacrifice. Beit El, of course, is where Yaakov Avinu receives his prophecy. So, not coincidental as well. We come to this week's chapter, and as you can imagine, Hashem is not pleased with Yeravam. And so Hashem is going to send, essentially, a man of God to Yeravam to warn him and to try to get him to do tshuva. You'll notice the word shuv appears several times throughout this chapter in different contexts, but it's clearly there to remind us that that is the central focus of what it is we're supposed to be paying attention to, that this is all an attempt to rehabilitate Yeravam, and when that is unsuccessful, so there's a negative prophecy that is going to come along with it. So again, we're in chapter Yud Gimel. A lot of things that don't make sense in this chapter. We'll try to make sense of it as we study along together. Perek begins. V'hine isha Elokim ba miYehuda b'dvar Adonai el Beit El v'yeravam omed al mizbeach lahaktir. So we know that an ish Elokim, which is purposefully ambiguous, so he comes from Yehuda and he finds that Yeravam is standing at the mizbeach, he's standing at the altar and he's offering sacrifices. Now, we don't know really the context of what Yeravam is doing, but as a continuation of last week's chapter, if you remember at the end, Yeravam had made an entire holiday for himself, and they were offering sacrifices. Remember, he tricked people into thinking that they missed Sukkot and that they really didn't need to go to Yerushalayim. So one would imagine that as a continuation of that, so here's Yeravam, he's offering sacrifices in one of his prohibited places of worship. And this Ish Elokim comes from Yehuda. Now, what makes that significant is Yehuda is what? Yehuda is the enemy, so to speak. Yehuda is the outsider. Don't forget, Yehuda is still in Rechavam's territory. So, an outsider is coming. Now, if an outsider is coming, you expect them to reject him off the bat. And we'll see, that's not exactly what happens. And so, one of the questions you should be thinking about is why exactly isn't this Ish Elokim immediately rejected? He's more likely welcomed in. What were they hoping to learn from him? What were they hoping to glean from him? What do they want from him that they're hoping to learn? Vayikra ala mizbeach. So he comes up, you got to picture the scene. right? This is my Mizbeach. So you have Yeravam over here. He's offering his sacrifices. And this man of God comes, and he calls to the Mizbeach. Now, you have to imagine they're not in private, because if there's a public celebration going on, it's not just Yeravam sitting in a shul by himself. There are a lot of people standing around. And here this man comes to the front of the room. Right, imagine I'm giving my drush on Shabbos morning. Okay, let's just create a real imagery. So you have a packed room. I'm sitting up here, I'm giving my drasha. And a person comes in from the back, and in front of everyone, he starts talking to the Aron Kodesh. So what's he doing by doing that? Who's he ignoring? He's ignoring me. He talks right past me, which you and I both know is the greatest form of an insult. Happens to me every week at a Kiddush, right? Any event I go to, right? It's my biggest pet peeve. You're talking to someone, and what are they doing the whole time? They're already looking for the next guy. Their eyes they're making sure that no one finished the herring before they have a chance to finish the conversation with you and get to that. Right? So when you talk to someone but not really talk to them, it's a big insult. And that's what happens here. Vayikra al mizbeach bedvar Adonai, vayomer mizbeach, mizbeach. He starts screaming, right? I'm sitting there giving my drasha, I'm holding court, and he's screaming at the mizbeach. Ko amar Adonai, hinei bein, nolad, leves, David, Yoshiyahu shmo, that there's going to be a person born to the house of David. His name is going to be Yoshiyahu. Mizavach alecha es kohaneha bamot hamaktirim alecha ve'atzmos adam yisru alecha. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to basically sacrifice all of these human bones on the Mizbeach. And there's going to be a massive, at the kohaneh, right? The kohanim, the leaders, are going to be destroyed, essentially. And their bones are going to be sacrificed, our bones are going to be burnt on the altar. The Kohanim, of course, are the leaders of the people. And so he's prophesizing that the leadership is going to be completely wiped out. Pasuk Gimel, V'nasan bayomahu mofet lemor. He says, and if you want to know, right, one of the criteria for whether it's a false prophet or a real prophet is whether or not he can create miracles. So he says, I'm going to give you a miracle. Zeha mofet asher diber Adonai. This is the miracle. Hine hamizbeach nikra v'nishbach hadeshen asher alav. That, right, you picture the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is going to crack in the middle. And what happens when things crack in the middle? So everything falls into the inside, right? This happened at my table once, that I leaned on a table, and it was a glass table that was like a folding glass table, and I leaned right in the middle, and they had just brought out two pots of chulent. And I went through the middle, and the chulent came on top of me. And I have a little remembrance of that. Four beautiful stitches right there. So this happens. But this was the miracle. He says, I'm going to prove to you that this is going to happen. Pasuk Dalavai. So again, you got to picture the scene with dramatic. So Yeravam is sitting there. He's holding court. He's giving his big drasha. Man comes in from the back of the room, starts screaming at the Mizbeach, and says, bad things are going to happen. So what would I do? What would you do if you're given the drasha then? Right? Security! Right? That's what we actually have in there, a little button. Right? So it was security! Vayhi chishmo ha-melech es devar ish elokim asher kara al mizbeach beveisel vayishlach yiravam es yado me'al mizbeach le'mor tifsuhu. So he reaches out his hand and he says, grab him! Right? Security! Hold on to him! Vativash yado asher shalach alav alo yachol la'ashiva alav. There's that word, la'ashiva. He reaches out. And all of a sudden, it can't move. It's paralyzed. Can't move his hand. Okay? V'hamizbeach pasuk hey, 5. V'hamizbeach nikra. So exactly as it happens. Again, you're sitting there, don't forget. You're the audience. And you're like, this is better than the Patriots coming back from 25 points, right? We have a paralyzed hand. We have the table crashes now. V'hamizbeach nikra. The altar cracks. And everything that he prophesied happens. So I'm playing the role of Yeravam right now. I got a paralyzed hand. My altar just split into two. Ashes are all over the place. I've just been publicly humiliated, which again, we know from last week's chapter, was my biggest fear, was that people wouldn't view me as a real king. So, and all of you are watching, and you're waiting to see now what I'm going to do. So he says, Chal na es pnei Adonai Elohecha, vispalel ba'di, vatashov yadi elai. Right, he says, please, can you daven? Right, you have the insider track with Hashem. Do you mind davening on my behalf? So vayichal ish Elokim es pnei Adonai vatashav. There's again that word. Yada melech elav vatehi kavirushana. And all of a sudden, I get my arm back. It's a little, you know, it's like I slept on it funny. So, and I get my arm back. Now, that's quite an introduction. I'll just point out one thing, that in Pasuk Beis, I forgot to point this out, the second verse, it says, Hine bein nolad lebeis David. That a son will be born to the house of David. If a son's born to the house of David, what does that mean? This is, by the way, this is going to happen, oh, I think 200-300 years later. It means, it's his subtle way of saying that you're going to be long gone, but you know what's going to still be around? The house of David. Okay? So here you have, he's just been snubbed publicly. He's been embarrassed. He's been humbled because he's now had to daven. He's the all-powerful king, and he has to daven to this Isha Elohim to restore movement to his hand. Okay? And now we have the... before we get to Pasuk Zayin, one more point. Clearly, what is being communicated is that, right, don't forget, you have the altar that's now destroyed. And essentially, what the Isha Elohim is telling him is that just as this altar is being destroyed and is unfit for use, so too, you, Yeravam, is unfit. Right, again, he speaks to the altar, but he's really speaking to Yeravam. And they're kind of interchangeably. They're interchangeable here.
Who is this?
Who is this Isha Elohim? We don't know. We don't know. Well, we know he's gonna make a big mistake, but we don't know who he is. Okay? Does the Mefarshim point out? I didn't see anything. Hold on. Well, he's Ido Hanavi, the Mefarshim say. It was Ido Hanavi. Is Navi? I don't know. Okay. Fine. So we come to Pasuk Zayin. Vayidaber HaMelech El Isha Elokim Boa Iti HaBaitos Adave Nalecha Matas. So now he takes a different approach. Right, again, he tried to seize him. Can't win him with force. So how are you going to win him? You're going to kill him with kindness. So he says, come with me, Habibi, puts his arm around him that now functions. And he says, come to my house, let's have a nice meal, I'm going to give you gifts, right? He's trying to kill him with kindness. Vayomar Isha Elokim El HaMelech, Im titein li es chatzi beisecha lo avoimach. You can give me half, I'm not coming. No chance. V'lo ochal lechem, I'm not going to eat any of your bread. V'lo eshtemayim b'makomaz, I have no interest in it. Ki kein siva osi b'dvar adonai le'mor, God gave me three rules. That I go, I talk to you, I tell you exactly what's going to happen, but I can't do one of three things. I can't eat, I can't drink, and I can't return the way that I came. That's interesting. Okay? So why would Hashem have been so adamant that he not do one of those three things? So again, put yourself in the picture. Here... can't fraternize. What does fraternizing accomplish?
You become friendly.
What's the problem with becoming friendly? What? Put yourself in Yeravim's shoes. When Yeravim says, "Hey, buddy, come back. My wife makes a good chili." You know what? He's trying to buy him, right? He realizes that he can't win him by force, so he's trying to buy. Don't forget, this Isha Elohim just brought very bad news. He just humiliated him. So he's now trying to use food to buy him off, right? A way to a man's heart is through a stomach, right? Yeah.
But then you can't explain why he can't go back.
So why can't he go back? So I think it's the same idea. Is that going back, think about where else do we have a prohibition of going back?
Mitzrayim.
Right? You're not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim. Okay? When you go back, again, I saw this suggestion from Rabbi Alex Israel in his... articles on Malachim. So he points out that when you go back to something, so what are you trying to do? He says it's representative of a canceling the journey. right? Then when you retrace your steps, you kind of like undo what you came here for. And so he suggests that God told him you have to go back a different way because you can't at least let it be perceived that you're reversing your mission, right? And what he's essentially telling him is that this nevuah is not negotiable and it's irrevocable. You can't change it. You can't go back on it. You can't undo it. Okay, so all three of these things, not eating, not drinking, not returning, are all ways of Hashem telling this Navi that this is it. You can't buy him off, you can't change his mind, and you can't at least do anything that is perceived as undoing the reason why you came. You're on a mission, and you got to continue on this mission. We'll see. Well, let's hold on. Okay? Pasuk Yud, 10. I'll just point out one more thing. Hold on. I've been skipping over some of my Meforshim here. Rashi on Vatihi Kavarishona in Pasuk Vav, the sixth Pasuk, says that we think that it's the hand. Right? I mean, he had a paralyzed hand, and all of a sudden it became normal again. So Rashi says, no. Omeru Maktir Lavodas Kochavim. Means he went back to what he was doing. Right? An angel, this Isha Elohim comes, shocks and awes everyone in the audience. Doesn't mean that he regained his arm. And then he went right back to serving idolatry. Those Yeravam wasn't impacted by anything that he saw. He wasn't moved to do tshuva. Remember that we said that key word that we're going to be seeing over and over is that word for returning. Didn't work on Yeravam. It fails on him. Okay? So now we have Pasuk Yud. Vayelech baderech acher velosha baderech asher baba el beisel. So he's going a different way back. And he's moseying along. V'navi echad zaken yoshev beisel. And there was a certain prophet that lived in Beitel. Now Rashi, quoting the Targum, tells us, Navi Sheker, that he's a false prophet, which perhaps will offer different suggestions, but he was a false prophet. Vayavo bino, so his child comes to him, or his children come to him. Vayisaper lo es kol hamaseh asher asa isha lokim ayom beveis el, es advarim asher diber el hamelech, vayisaprum laavihem. Who pointed this out? But at first it says vayisaper, and then it says vayisaprum. So it starts off singular, ends up plural. So the Radak writes, Kiti tchila ba benoa echad vayemisaper lo asher asa isha lokim. So first one son came, uva odo, where am I? Misapir bo shar banav, and then everyone else came. Okay, so one started, and then they all joined it, right? And he's telling his father everything that happened. Now, one thing that should cause you to be a little curious is why wasn't his father there? Right, if there's this very big public celebration, God-like experience with sacrifices, and his children are there, and you get the sense that there were lots of people there watching, where was this Navi Sheker? If this Navi Sheker was such a macher, so you'd assumed he wanted to be in on the action, and yet he was noticeably absent. So that's something to think about. Maybe we'll talk about it a little later. Okay? So they tell their father everything that happened. Vayidaber alehem avihem. Eizeh aderech halach. He says, whoa, I got to meet this guy. Which way did he go? And they say, he took 95 instead of the turnpike. Okay? Saddle me up a donkey. So he gets into the, puts the family into the station wagon and he heads off on the path to cut off this Isha Elokim. Pasuk 14, Vayelech. He meets him, guys at a rest stop on 95. He says, are you the guy? You the one who did it? He says, I'm the guy. Guilty as charged. He says, why don't you come back with me? Let's break bread together. Now, why does this Isha Elokim, why does the Navi Sheker, the Navi Zakein, think that the Isha Elokim is going to listen to him? Because he thinks he has street credibility. In other words, he's not going to listen to Yeravam because Yeravam is the wicked king. But he doesn't know I'm a Navi Sheker. He thinks I'm a righteous person. So he's going to hopefully, You know, it's like people, my children do this, right? They go to their mom, and she punishes them, and then who do they go to next? They go to me, right? Because they try to, you know, yeah, and they know that I'm the softy in the family, right? People do this in shul all the time. I have news for you. Rabbi Goldberg and I talk a lot. So if you come to one of us and then go to the other one of us, we've usually spoken in between, and we catch people doing that all the time. So that's what he says, right? So he's coming to, then he says, why don't you come with me? You can trust me. Vayomer lo chalashuv itach, v'lavo itach. He says, I'm not coming with you, right? And I'm not, right, v'lo acholechem, v'lo ashtei itchamayim, b'makom hazeh, I want nothing to do with this place. Because, ki davar elai b'davar enai lo tuchal, because Hashem told me all this. Pasuk Yirches, 18. Vayomer lo, gam ani navi kamocha. I'm also a navi. And he's spelling it out now, right? It obviously wasn't as overt at first. Now he's spelling it out. He's saying, you can trust me. I'm also a Navi. Umalach diber elai b'dvar adonai lemor. And an angel spoke to me and said, Hashivehu itcha el beisecha v'yochalechem v'yoshmaim ki cheshlo. What does this Navi, what does this Zakin do? Lie straight through his teeth. Straight through his teeth. He says, oh, I'm all, you know what, you got to picture the scene. They're sitting at the rest stop. They're in front of a Starbucks. He's just waiting for his, you know, latte. And he puts his arm around and he goes, you don't understand. God also speaks to me. And you know what he told me? That I'm supposed to bring you back. You know, plans changed. We got to call an audible. We're going to plan B. And you're going to come back with me. It's all good. Don't worry about it. So what happens? Pasuk. Test 19. Vayashov ito vayocha lechem bebeiso vayeshti ayin. So he listens to him. He goes back home. He eats. He drinks. Vayhi heim yoshvim el hashulchan. And as they're sitting at the table. Now you'll notice there's a, if you look in the Hebrew, there's a space there. That's a dramatic pause. Right? They're sitting at the table and vayhi dvar adonai el anavi asher hashivo. And all of a sudden God comes to the Navi. Vayikra Elisha Elokim Asher Ba Mi'Yehuda Lemor Ko Amar Adonai Yan Ki Marisa Pi Adonai Velo Shamarta Es HaMitzvah Asher Tzivcha Adonai Elohecha. You didn't follow your orders. You failed on your mission. Vatasha Vatocha Lechem Vatesh Mayim Vakom Asher Dibar Lecha. And you did exactly what I told you not to do. You know what your punishment's going to be? Lo Savo Nivlascha El Kever Avosecha. Your body's not even going to see a grave. You're going to, right? You're going to be killed, and you're just going to sit there. Fair or unfair? Well, we're westernized, so it seems unfair. But we'll see. Perhaps there's some fairness to it. Right. That the obvious point is Hashem is telling him you should have been more judicious. You should have looked into it. You should have called me, asked me, right? Radio in and say, God, is this guy for real? Don't forget, there are litmus tests for a Nevi'im. Whether it's you have to real. Navi Sheker to us seems so ridiculous. Back then, it was common. You didn't know who was false, who was real. So the Rambam articulates that there are rules about, you know, what he can do and what he can't do, and if he gives certain signs then he's a real Navi, and if he doesn't then he's a Navi Sheker. They had ways to tell, and obviously he wasn't judicious enough.
Where does the Rambam?
I don't remember off the top of my head. Hey, but he does. And if you email me, I'll find it for you.
He's already in trouble because he's already picking everything Hashem told him.
Yeah.
He just said, I can't stay, I can't eat.
Right, well, he obviously...
The whole thing.
Yeah, but he was lied to. Right. He was lied to. I'm not sure any of us would have... I don't know. I was thinking that. Would I have reacted differently? I don't know. It's hard to... I don't have prophecy, nor have I ever met with someone with prophecy. So it's hard to know. But one can definitely understand where the mistake was made. Okay? Yeah, sorry?
If he's a man of God...
Right. Yeah, one would presume. Well, clearly one of those is right, because he's punished very harshly for it. Right, that'll end a meal pretty quickly. So they end the meal. So remember that word hasher shivo. It doesn't need to say that, but that word shuv keeps on coming up. Okay, so they saddle up his donkey. Vayelech, he goes on his way. Vayimseehu aryeh baderech vayimisehu, and he meets a lion on the way, and it kills him. Vatihi nivlaso mushlechet baderech. It just gets, right, imagine it being like torn to shreds, so to speak. V'achamor omed etzla, and as they're on the way, so a lion comes, kills the guy, and a donkey happens to be sitting there. Now, if a lion is ravenous, who else are you going to go after? The donkey. So v'aharye omed etzel hanavela, and you have this, just everyone's standing peacefully. The lion's standing peacefully, the chamor, the donkey is standing peacefully, and no one's killing anyone else. Okay? I'll just point, before we go on, the Malbim makes a very important point. The Malbim says on Pasuk 21, Yan asher marisa velo shamarta es ha-mitzvah, that you didn't listen to my commandment. Says the Malbim, Rotza lomar ki kol safek sheyistapek b'tzivoy Hashem. If we ever have a doubt whether we should do something for Hashem, whether this is the will of Hashem, whether this isn't the will of Hashem, Sarich lihizayir boch lechumra. Says, you know what? It's not so bad to be a little machmir sometimes, and to err on the side of caution, right? When trying to figure out what Hashem wants. Ki b'makom shesasan dvarav v'lo beira haheter b'feirush ratzah shenachmir bo. What should have the Ish Elokim done? He had a doubt. Should I follow this guy, or should I listen to Hashem? So what should he have done? He should have just been machmir. What would he have lost by being stringent, he says. V'zeh klal gadol behilchas haTorah. He says, this is a lesson for us. V'zeh inyan hamashmeret shetzrichem lishmor ha-mitzvah. Im kol tna'eha. Right? Much of what we do, much of what we practice in Judaism are what we call gzeros. They're decrees by the rabbis. And the reason why the rabbis put on so many decrees is lest we come and violate something in the Torah. Right? And the reason why, right, im kol tna'eha v'chumroseh v'sigeha, lo shen nakel ba, ki ein lecha teret she'samacht al divrei anavi she'beisel. The rabbis knew what they were talking about sometimes when they warned us and they added on levels of decrees to prevent us from doing something bad. And we sometimes look at it and we say, what's the big deal? No one's going to make that jump. The answer is that God forbid we should ever be close to a position of violating the word of Hashem. And so we rabbinic Judaism is sometimes extra stringent so as to avoid coming to a situation where we might violate something in the Torah. We're learning this on Monday afternoons. For those who come to the afternoon kola, we're doing the laws of cooking on Shabbos and reheating food on Shabbos. So much of what we do practically in our kitchen is rabbinic. The whole notion of blech, the whole notion of not being able to, you know, return stuff to a fire. All of that is rabbinic. And you say to yourself sometimes, oh, no one's going to make that jump that I can cook on Shabbos. The answer is why risk it? Why risk getting into a position where I could accidentally violate an Isser Deoraisa? And so the rabbis put decrees to prevent us from doing that. So that's the Malbim, an interesting Malbim. Again, obviously there's a line to that. You can't do every chumrah. You have to be judicious in that as well. Okay? So the miracle now is that you have this lion standing there. You have this donkey standing there. And they're not mauling each other. And the body is still there also. They're not totally tearing it to shreds. Pasuk Chafei 25. V'nei anashim ovrim. People are walking by. Vayiru es hanevela mushlecha baderech. And they see this body thrown onto the ground. V'sa'ar yeitzel omed eitzel hanevela. V'yavo v'yidabru ba'ir asher navi hazaken yoshev ba. And they come back and they report this back to the Navi HaZaken. What I find interesting is, again, it's almost this third time that we've experienced bystanders. Right? It doesn't say it explicitly. You got the sense from the beginning that everyone was watching this incident between Yeravam and the Ish Elokim. We know that the children of the Navi HaZaken report back to him, which means they were obviously watching. And again, here you have people like passing by. They're passive observers, and they're clearly curious enough about what's happening because they then report it back, and they want to make sense of all of this. And again, I think there's symbolism in that. We'll come to that at the end. Vayishma ha-navi asher hashivo min ha-derech. Again, that word, right? Hashivo. Vayomar ish Elokim hu asher maras pi Adonai. Yeah, he got what's coming to him because he rebelled against God's word. Vayinehu Adonai la'ariyeh vayishbarehu vayimisehu kedvar Adonai asher diber lo. And this is exactly what God told him would happen. He had it coming. I knew this would happen. Vayidaber abanav le'mor chiv shuli asachamor vayichavoshu. Get me my donkey. Vayelech vayimtsas nevelas es nivlaso mushlecha baderech. Vachamor vahariyeh omdim etzel anevela. Again, there's that miracle. He finds the body. The donkey and the lion are just standing there. Lo ochal haariyeh es anevela velo shavar es achamor. And the lion is not destroying the body, nor is he eating the chamor. Vayisa navi es nivlas ish elokim v'nicheo achamor v'yishivehu. Again, that word, right? He takes the body and he returns it. Vayavo el ira navi hazaken lispot ulekavro. And he brings it back and he makes this very public burial. And he starts eulogizing him. Vayanach es nivlaso b'kivro. He puts the body of the ish elokim b'kivro. What does that mean? In his grave. Whose grave? The Navi HaZaken. So the Navi HaZaken obviously had, he had bought a plot, right? It says Navi HaZaken on it. And he says, I'm going to put the Ish Elokim in my grave. Okay? Vayispidu alav, and he gives him a eulogy. Hoy achi, whoa, my brother who I lied to and caused to die. Right? Now, again, perhaps he felt guilty that he was the cause of this to happen. Vayi achare kivro oso. So they bury this Ish Elokim. Vayomer obanav leimor. And he makes his children promise. B'mosi, when I die, ukvartem osi bakever asher Ish Elokim kavor bo. I want you to bury me in that grave. Eitzel asmosav hinichu as atzmosav. I want my bones buried next to his bones. Why would he want that? Why would he want that? Well, how did we start off this chapter? What was the prophecy? That the bones would be burned. The bones of the evil people would be burned. So he's saying to himself, that's me. I'm pretty wicked, right? I'm going to have my bones burned. That's not going to be good for my tchias amesim and my eternity. So he says, I got a great idea. If there's a righteous person in the grave, you know what they're not going to do? They're going to walk right by that grave. They're going to say, no, we don't want to exhume this kever because we don't want to touch an Ish Elokim. So he says to himself, if I get buried there, then I'll avoid the fate that awaits me. Ki hayo yeh davar asher kara bedvar Adonai al mizbeach asher beis el v'yakol batei abamot asher ba'arei shomron. Right, it says it explicitly because of what's going to happen. He's trying to avoid that. Achara davar azel lo shav yirava midarko ara. Even after all these miracles and all these weird events and that word shuv lo shav yiravam does not return. And again, that bookends the parak. Clearly, that was the whole point of the parak, was to get yiravam to do tshuva. Vayashav, again that word, vayas miktosa am kone bamot hachafe yimaleas yado vayi kone bamos. Just continue, right? He's making everyone kohanim. They're serving the idols. Vayi badavar hazel lechatat beit yiravam ulahachid ulashmid me'al pnei adama. And lest we, this is a bad cliffhanger, because the pasuk tells us exactly what's going to happen next week, which is that yiravam is going to be wiped out. Lachid ulahashmid me'al pnei adama. He's going to be a goner. And that's exactly what is going to happen next week. Who is this Navi HaZaken? So you have two ambiguous terms in this parsha. You have an Ish Elokim. We don't know who he is, but we know he's a good guy. And then we have this Navi HaZaken, which Rashi in the Unkelus tell us is a Navi Sheker. But the Pasuk doesn't tell us. The Pasuk says a Navi HaZaken. So again, this is a suggestion from Rabbi Israel, which I found very interesting. He said, put yourself in that position. You're living in the northern kingdoms during this time period. So you're very confused. Because on the one hand, you know, it's not a secret, that Yerushalayim is the central gathering place for the entire Jewish people. Yerushalayim is the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where they're supposed to be offering sacrifices. So you know something doesn't feel right in Beit El and Dan. Okay? You also know that Yeravam was divinely chosen to play this role, that Yeravam was sent on this mission from Hashem. And so you have two competing forces taking place. On the one hand, you have Hashem telling them to go to Yerushalayim. On the other hand, you have Hashem saying, Yeravam is your man, and Yeravam's, they're mutually exclusive at this point. And so people are very confused. Who's right? Is Yeravam a good guy or a bad guy? Should we be listening to him? Should we not be listening to him? Okay? So what happens? This Ish Elokim comes into town, and he starts performing miracles, and he pokes hole in the notion that Yeravam is really as good of a guy as we thought he was. So if you're this Navi HaZaken, you're the elder statesman. So people are coming to you and they're saying, Mr. Navi, what's going on? Is Yeravam good? Is he bad? Are we going to Yerushalayim? Are we not going to Yerushalayim? And then he hears that this Ish Elokim came and made this prophecy. You know what he's saying to himself? I got to meet him. I want to meet this Ish Elokim. I want to get to know him. I want to, you know, remember with George Bush, it was always like, I got to speak to him man to man. Right? We're going to level out with each other. Level with each other. So that's what this Navi HaZaken is doing. Didn't have as nefarious intentions as we attributed at first. He genuinely wants this Navi, this Ish Elokim, to come back to his house because he just wants to talk to him. So he flies along the way. I don't think he probably anticipated the negative consequences, but he's kind of testing this Ish Elokim. How committed are you to Hashem? How real are you? Because you just did some pretty amazing stuff. And so he essentially tests the Navi Hashem. And what does the Navi Hashem do? He fails the test. Okay? Now why is that significant? He's significant that he fails the test because that's the whole purpose of this chapter. You see, the Ish Elokim is the foil to Yeravam. Yeravam and the Ish Elokim are both on a divine mission. Yeravam was given the keys to the castle when Hashem wanted to punish Shlomo in Rechavam. He says, here are the keys, don't blow it. What does Yeravam do? He goes and blows it. Instead of Hashem telling him that explicitly, Hashem sends someone else who also blows his mission. Right? The Ish Elokim is putting in front, is the foil. It's putting up a mirror to Yeravam's face and saying, you see what happens when even someone who's well-intentioned, perhaps, and Yeravam, there was logic to what Yeravam had said, that he didn't want people to go to Yerushalayim, that he wanted to make it easier. Right? He had obviously rationalized it in his mind. So he says, here's a guy who had good intentions, he's on a mission, and yet he fails to fulfill that mission. And look at the tragic consequences of what happens when someone fails the mission that they were put on by Hashem. And what does Yeravam do? He looks right past the mirror. He completely misses it. He misses the message. Right? That's the last few psukim. Right? Where was that word? Right? Velo shav Yeravam, midarko ra'ah. Yeravam totally misses it. He misses the symbolism of this Ish Elokim being that almost that mirror that's put up to his face. And that ultimately, the inability, that lack of self-awareness, that lack of introspective ability that Yeravam had, that's what caused his downfall. It's not his negative actions. It's the fact that, despite the fact that Hashem sends him, you know the story of the guy who's in a flood, and a helicopter comes and says, I want to save you. And then the boat comes, I want to save you. He goes, no, Hashem will save me. Finally, he dies and he comes up to heaven. Hashem says, why didn't you save me? Hashem says, I did save you. I sent you the boat and the helicopter. So that's exactly... The key is not Yeravam's sins. The key is Yeravam's inability to rehabilitate from his sins. And that lack of introspection, and that lack of self-awareness. The Ish Elokim here is that mirror that's put up to Yeravam's face, and he totally misses the message. And that's when the psukim end, ulachid ulashmid me'al pnei adama. Someone who's incapable of doing that, that's when they're wiped off the face of the earth. And next week, we'll get into more of the story, and ultimately the downfall of Yeravam, and that's when we start changing kings almost every chapter afterwards. So everyone have a good week, and looking forward to next week.